All rise and respect the bell. It's time for the Crunch Exchange. It's how we wrap up Wednesdays here during Crunch Time with Steve Tannen. I'm Nick Rogers, and us begin. I'm not?
No.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a dollar. I got my name wrong. I got both. I'm Nick Rogers. That's Steve. It's Steve's show. Anyways.
Sort of.
Oh, boy. This is a bad start. On July 23rd, the New York Metropolitan PR team put up a graphic on the Citi Field scoreboard. The team was 45-56. The trade deadline rumors were flying about losing Jakob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and or Zach Wheeler, and who knows who else they should have been selling. The message on the scoreboard read, "You gotta believe." Beginning tonight, the Mets play 16 consecutive games against teams with records below 500. Jokingly, the guys over at Cespedes Barbecue sent out the following tweet: "Mets about to win 16 straight." And it was very much a joke, and it wouldn't make total and complete sense for that to actually happen, with the Mets kicking off a hot streak to win 16 in a row. I mean, they're the Mets, why not? But that's almost exactly what they did. During these 16 games, the Mets went 14-2 with a pair of back-to-back 7-game winning streaks. The Mets went from very much not in the playoff picture to very much in the playoff picture, with a starting rotation that's pretty strong. The hitting's good too. Jeff McNeil at 340, Pete Don't Call Me Peter Alonso, 81 RBIs as a rookie. Five other Mets have 45-plus RBIs as well. And sure, this hot streak was against some of the worst teams in baseball, but they're now 1.5 games back of the second wild card, chasing the Brewers and Cardinals, who are falling, and the Phillies and Nats are also divisional foes with plenty of games remaining to make up even more games. The Mets, I think they're doing it. The prospectus, the Mets make the playoffs.
Wah! I can't take this kind of pressure. You know what? The bottom line is, they're beating the Marlins. They're pitching their butts off, but I'm gonna actually say I want to see what happens when they play a real team, and I'm gonna go pending.
Ted, my boy, it's gonna be legend. Wait for it.
Play a real team.
I can't commit. I can't go there.
That's fair enough. The fun summer of baseball continues. Current legends are starting to surpass legends on Mike Trout's 28th birthday today. Happy birthday. We can finally say that no one has ever had a better start to their career for age 19 through 27, so we can now start comparing Trout to some of the other best evers as he cements himself into his late 20s. Another LA legend took a major step to his Hall of Fame career, Clayton Kershaw. The lefty ace went for 7 innings, 9 Ks, 1 walk, and 1 run allowed last night against the Cardinals, and he also became the Dodgers' all-time leader in WAR. Now at 67.4, he passed Don Drysdale, who had 67.1, who had been their leader in WAR for quite a while. Kershaw had also long ago passed Sandy Koufax, and in Dodgers pitching history, Kershaw is 4th in ERA, 6th in wins, 3rd in winning percentage, 2nd in whip, and 3rd in strikeouts with 2,406. He's just 290 away from tying Don Sutton as the Dodgers' all-time leader as well. He's got the Cy Youngs, an MVP, a no-hitter, ERA titles, a triple crown, and plenty of more regular season awards, but he's lacking that cherry on top that would be a World Series title. Would be a real shame if he never got it. He's one of the best Dodgers ever, but is he the best? The prospectus, Clayton Kershaw is the best Dodger of all time.
No, forget about it. So...
fair enough.
He's not the Duke of Flatbush just yet, and he's not Koufax just yet.
Fair enough. Hard Knocks came back last night, and it is officially football season. The Raiders are the star of this year's show, and even bigger stars are the ones that are enjoying the camera are Antonio Brown. Many will say that John Gruden stole the show, or maybe even Guy Fieri, but the best line came when Brown was floating above the Napa Valley, looking over the beautiful Northern California landscape, and said, "Float in like a butterfly, sting like AB." You know, not AB, but AB. And he included the clarification, which made his delivery of the line all that better. But the important storyline from that episode one was Antonio Brown's feet. The show showed a personal workout where he struggled running around in the field. He's missed practices because of these foot injuries. And then on his Instagram story, AB showed us wise, massive, semi-truck-sized blisters that cover the entirety of Brown's feet.
Ugh.
Turns out he got these injuries and missed practice and isn't 100% because of he went into a cryotherapy machine without the proper foot protection, so he doesn't have massive blisters. He's got frostbite. It's August in Napa, and Antonio Brown got frostbite.
Unbelievable.
The prospectus, this is the weirdest football injury in the history of football.
Yeah, all the other real weirdo ones seem to be baseball related. I'm going to buy that. Like you said, I was thinking the same thing. It's the melting point of summer. You're inside and you voluntarily get frostbite.
It's so funny.
It's unbelievable.
The NCAA's last one, the NCAA is constantly rolling out new rules, regulations, and guidelines for all of their sports. Their newest addition has to do with NCAA basketball players that are interested in testing the NBA waters. This new rule isn't for the players, but rather the agents that will represent them on their journey towards professional basketball, with the guidelines being having a bachelor's degree, background checks, application processes, fees, and plenty of other steps. I mean, it sounds like a good idea in theory. The NCAA is maybe considering the student athlete by making sure the agent they hire is well prepared to represent them and give them the best information when it comes to deciding between staying in college and leaving for the NBA. Many others are seeing this as the Rich Paul rule. Rich Paul is LeBron James's agent, a part of LeBron's player agency Clutch Sports, and is not your classically trained player agent, and partially thanks to that lack of inexperience is running the NBA with LeBron. Paul as an agent has been doing everything that an agent is supposed to do, which is get his client the best contract and put them in the best position possible, while the NCAA seems to be more afraid that players are going to be hiring their friends as agents who are only yes men by damaging the player's future. But that's very much implying that Rich Paul is not a good agent and is anything but a yes man for LeBron, which is really something that the NCAA shouldn't have a hand in. The prospectus, the Rich Paul rule, quote unquote, is a bad idea.
Well, first of all, I thought George Schroeder made a really good point. Rich Paul is representing these guys. He's not going to be representing the number five guy who played at Wichita State that might be thinking about entering the draft. So while I don't trust the NCAA, I don't buy that this is really that big of a deal. And I went in thinking it was until Schroeder set me straight. So sell that.